Today on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
It's actually more draining than physical work because it keeps you up at night as well. You know, this is the stuff that you can't go to sleep with, or you wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning, it's just churning around in your head. On this episode, we're talking about one reason business owners feel overwhelmed, constantly interrupted, and never seem to have enough headspace, and it's decision fatigue. Now, it's not the big decisions that wear you down. It's the hundreds of small ones that slowly turn you into a bottleneck in your own business and grind you into the ground. Now, the people who own highly profitable companies have built something that doesn't rely on them making every single decision. Tune into this episode if you're tired of feeling mentally exhausted, constantly interrupted, and carrying the weight of every decision in your business. It might just change the way you think about leadership forever. Let's talk about how company owners feel when they have too many decisions to make. It's pretty tough, right?
Yeah, mate, definitely. You get tired, distracted, interrupted, and basically annoyed. Your ear's hot from the phone, can't get anything done. And you go home and guess what? More decisions to make, right? You know, you're a family person, you got stuff to do as well.
Mm-hmm. I can think about a time very recently, maybe yesterday, where I had a very busy day here in the office. Lots going on, lots to think about. And
there was steam coming out of his ears.
Well, you know? Yeah, it's probably true. Anywho, and I got a message from my lovely wife, and she was asking me about whether one of our kids could go out for the evening. It was a school night, and he wanted to go out with his friends to a movie. I literally couldn't cope. It was one decision too many. And I was just like, I don't know. I've got no idea.
Yeah, that straw broke the camel's back. I found Tony hiding under the sink crying.
Rocking. Yeah. And seriously, I couldn't cope with it. It was just too much.
Yeah.
And that's a classic symptom of decision fatigue, and I felt like I was being really unhelpful to my wife, and you know, we sorted it out in the end. He just went, which was probably what should happen in the first place, but it's all good.
Yeah.
But that's what happens. You just get completely overloaded and you kind of break down, really. You just can't do any more, and that happens to a lot of people.
100%.
So it's a real problem, and it's important that owners get rid of, you know, decisions so they can actually be calm and in control, focus and less reactive and able to think.
Yeah.
You know? Rather than being jammed up with everything that happens in the business. And I think when you can get rid of some of that decision fatigue, you make better decisions, you make better profit, the business goes better, and you know, what do you know, life's a lot better as well. So that's the important point.
Well, it is tough because you start making bad decisions, but that should have been easy decisions. For example, you know, like your son going to the movies, super simple. It's just that off the back of everything else, it becomes tough. And I think, you know, if we get into this, most people don't really realize they're suffering from that decision fatigue. You know, suddenly things are just really hard and you've got a really normal, easy decision in front of you. You just can't make it because you're overloaded. And, you know, I think it is quite normal. You know, I mean, we all do get overloaded from time to time. And You feel like you have to answer every question that comes your way.
This is the point. This is the point I really want to dig into. Most people don't realize they've got decision fatigue, and they actually think it's normal. They think as a business owner, it's my job to answer every question, to make every decision, to make, you know, a yay or nay, yes or no, red light, green light on everything. That's kind of what we think. And, you know, at the start it is like that because you're the
Well, that's exactly it. It's a learned behavior, right?
Because
when you first get started, it actually is that way. You know, there is no one else. You do have to make every decision. And then even when you have one or two people working for you, it's like most of the decisions are still, you know, sitting with you. And so you really develop this habit of that's how things go. And then as you develop, it's no longer true, but it's hard to actually make that adjustment.
Well, yeah, we equate good leadership with making all the decisions, leading from the front and going over the trenches, all that sort of thing. But it's not. Decision fatigue, you know, if you're listening, this is what it kind of looks like in your business. It looks like every question about a job or a project coming to you.
Mm.
It looks like every price needing to be done by you or at least checked by you, or, you know, your pricing people asking you questions about the job to get the price done. It's every supplier question or invoice needing to be actioned by you. It's every problem account or client being run through you. It's every team member with an issue asking for your opinion. It's every big decision about strategy coming to you. So it's every decision, big or small, actually coming to you. And it's, you know, it's just grinding.
Yeah, and I think also what it looks like is, you know, you're suffering from this when you start getting really, really frustrated with people's questions. And a lot of the time we'll tell ourselves a story about like, well, the reason I'm frustrated is it was a dumb question. They knew the answer anyway. And that may be true, but it's funny because when you're not suffering from decision fatigue, you've usually got that peace of mind, that headspace to question them back and say, hey, what do you think? Or hit them with a 131 or something like that. But the point is like when you're absolutely out of your head with decision fatigue, you just don't have the headspace to think clearly even about their silly question. And so this manifests as frustration. So if you're getting really, really frustrated with really, really simple questions, you're probably suffering from this.
It's huge, and it makes you so tired. It drains you of so much energy. You become exhausted and frustration. And often for me, and I know for most people, it's actually more draining than physical work because it keeps you up at night as well. You know, physical work, you're exhausted. Your sleep, your body kind of recharges, but this mental energy, this decision fatigue, this is the stuff that you can't go to sleep with, or you wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning, it's just churning around in your head.
Well, often physical fatigue actually feels good.
And it does.
I think that, you know, because it releases endorphins.
Yeah.
And so the thing is like when you're really, really going hard at something physically, you might be pretty exhausted at the end, but you feel good the same way you feel good after a long, hard run or a good, hard gym session or something. You know, a hard day on the tools, sometimes you feel great afterwards. You know, it might have been strenuous, but you're going to come home and be like, man, I got some stuff done.
Just
and I did it. Like, wow. Yeah. And just big relaxing sigh and great sleep and all that. If that's not happening, it's probably because of the mental load, which is, you know, a symptom of decision fatigue.
And you know, the thing is, it happens because you're a bottleneck in your business, but it also causes a bottleneck in your business because it gets to a point where you literally cannot make the decisions that you need to. And I can think of a time in our business where this happened, and a couple of years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years, I can't recall, but it was we were looking to put a new CRM system into the business, and I know you presented a bunch of them for me to have a look at. And I was like, yeah, I'll get around to it. And I'd sort of have a half-baked look. And this just went on for months and months and months.
For everyone listening, just so it's clear, it got to a point where the showing him was like, it's this one, bro. Like the other ones are on the page, sure, but like it's this one. This is the one to do. Like there's no decision to be made. Like this is a clear winner.
That's exactly right. Feels like this is the one we're doing. Made the decision because if it was left to me, it would never, ever have happened.
Well, actually, the way that happened was it was this is the one, and you still couldn't make the decision. You were just too overloaded.
Yeah.
And so I actually just went off and implemented it and then just told you it was already in place. So it was – and the hard thing is it's like it takes other people sometimes to notice – that you're stuck, because it's hard to admit this to yourself and it's hard to see it sometimes. But
well, you think it's your role. You think you have to make the decision. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's exactly the problem. And so you kind of get caught in your own trap.
Yeah. Well, I remember even edits on the first book that we released, the Profitable Tradie book, and you know, you're agonizing on getting it just right. And it actually took me to say, hey Tony, it's great. Like it's good. Let's just launch it.
That's right.
Again, it was a time where, you know, things were really busy and we were pretty overloaded. And I think it you know, this happens to everyone, I think.
Yeah. And so the result is that, you know, there's no decisions or poor decisions, or you create a lot of helplessness in your team as well because they're relying on you to make the decisions. Effectively, you're training them to make all the decisions. For you to make all the decisions. You're training them to be helpless. You're training them to not show initiative. You're training them just to be hands and not heads. And you really need that in your business if it's going to grow. And what happens basically, if you're overloaded with decision fatigue, your business stops growing because decisions aren't getting made. It's bottlenecked, and that's a big problem.
Yeah, and I mean, the decision is what leads to the implementation, and the implementation or action is what leads to the result. And so if you can't make the decision, nothing happens. If nothing happens, nothing changes. And so, like, that's why you don't get anywhere. But I reckon we should talk about, like, why company owners suffer from this more than anyone else, because reality is a lot of your team, they don't suffer from this like you do.
Not in the same way. Well, it's simple. There's just more decisions to make. So, you know, employees have systems to follow. Us as owners have a responsibility to create the systems. There's a whole lot of decisions to make there and stuff to get done.
And check them and hold people accountable. Yeah, it doesn't even end at the creation, right?
Yeah. Employees, you know, follow priorities. They're given priorities. Owners think it's their role to decide the priorities. So you're like, this is what's got to happen.
Mm.
Employees usually have one problem to solve. Well, maybe they're on a job and they've got a couple of problems to solve there. But owners have problems everywhere to solve, not only on projects, but with the business and suppliers and customers and team, the whole nine yards. And obviously the bigger your business becomes, the more decisions arrive. And this is a huge bottleneck. So it just gets to the point where they just can't get made and progress doesn't get made.
And there's another factor here as well, Tony, is usually if you're a company owner, you know, you're probably a little bit further ahead in your life than maybe some of your apprentices or younger tradesmen and things like that. And so reality is you're probably more likely to have a family at home as well. And so, you know, some of your people in your team, not only do they have less decisions during the day, but then they go home and the decision is, should I go to the gym, play PlayStation, or watch a movie? You know, whereas like you go home and it's like, now you got dad hat on, you got husband hat on, you got, you know, looking after your household. You've got all of these decisions waiting for you when you get home as well. And so the reality is that being a company owner, you just have so many more decisions, and this is going to weigh on you.
Well, and company owners, you know, you're a leader as well. So often you're a leader in your community, you're involved in sports associations or teams or church or whatever. You're a person who actually does stuff and gets stuff done. So you'll pick up responsibilities all over the show, which is even more decisions.
Absolutely.
So, you know, this is a massive problem unless you actually change how you operate. Unless you really recognize that this is a problem, I think this is the first thing for people listening is this a problem in my life? If you identify with any of this, yes, it is. And it needs to change for you to make progress. Because here's the real kicker is if you suffer from decision fatigue and, you know, you're making all the decisions in your business, well, what happens? You're going to have to make all the decisions in your business. It's like,
yeah, it doesn't change.
The problem actually causes the problem because people are, the team you have aren't trained to use their initiative. And they're not going to, you know, put their thoughts into things. They'll just put their hands into them because that's what you expect from them. And that's a really important thing to understand.
It's what you've trained them to do. So exactly. Let's talk about how we change this around.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the first thing is systems are your friend here because systems are basically getting your business out of your head, putting it on paper so other people can follow it. And they remove future decisions. That's the key here. So if, you know, anything needs to be done more than once, you kind of need to think about putting it in a system. Or better still, get someone in your team to help build the system. That's even better. But this is everything from how to answer the phone, how do we put our quotes or bids together, how do we recruit people, how do we invoice, how do we deal with complaints, et cetera, et cetera. Because if you document this, then all those future hundreds of decisions that need to be made are already made because it's actually on paper.
Yeah, well, if it's a decision I'm going to make the same way every time, it might as well be a system. I think that's, right. That's crucial.
Absolutely crucial. And so they don't just save you time, but they save you the brain power. They save you the decisions. This is how we've done it. I've made the decision once. Just follow the decision I made once rather than having to make the decision 10, 15, 20, 50 times. And here's the thing as well. If you keep getting asked the question, you'll probably get to give a different answer sometimes as well. You've got to, you might forget bits of the answer. And that's a big problem. So if you do it once with a system, you've got the best answer.
Well, there's another factor here as well, Tony, which is that when you're making that decision by creating a system in advance, it means that you're making that decision in advance when there's no emotional charge to it, which is actually a big thing.
That's a great point, actually.
Way less brain power and way less energy out. So I think about like the first house I ever bought, I actually bought with a mate named Sam. Great dude. Like Sam, if you ever listen to this dude, you're a champion.
Sam and Phil.
Oh yeah. But anyway, we went halves on this house. And before we did, we actually wrote out a whole bunch of what ifs. So like, here's all the decisions that we might have to make in an emotional situation. What if one of us wants to sell and the other one doesn't? What if one of us wants to buy the other one out? What if one of us gets sick and or can't work and can't pay the mortgage? All of these things. And we made the decision of what we would do for each one of these things in advance. And hey, look, some of these actually came up. And you know what? We didn't have to make the decision in a more emotionally charged situation because we'd done it in advance. I mean, it's the same like when me and you went into business together. Exactly. It's the same thing.
I was just
thinking
that. Yeah. Great minds, eh?
And actually, the thing is we made a lot of these decisions in advance. And that way, when anything comes up, we don't have to make an emotionally charged, difficult decision because we made an easy decision when it was in advance. And I think that's the key is that essentially what we did there was we made a system for how we would make decisions in the future. And that has taken all of the effort out every time something's actually come up and taken the emotion out of it as well. Because it's like, this is what we said we'd do.
Yeah.
And it's the same, you know, how we're going to answer the phone. It's like, this is how we said we'd do it. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah. That's how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
That's killer. If you're liking what we're talking about and you want some help with your business, I've got a new book coming out. It's called Built to Run. It's a 7-step guide to a high profit business that doesn't depend on you. Now, if you want to get the early bird wait list, it also gets you some bonuses. Just check out the link in the show notes. Definitely take the emotion out of it. It's a great call. I think something else, kind of like systems, is that you want to standardize things. You want to make things the same as much as possible to reduce the number of decisions required.
Absolutely.
And there's lots of examples of this just in life in general. You know, like Steve Jobs wore the same clothes.
Actually, Elizabeth Holmes wore the same clothes as Steve Jobs.
There you go.
Very nice, but not with the same success, unfortunately.
Yeah, like, you know, like I wear basically the same clothes every day. We have a T-shirt. I have like 4 pairs of the same chinos that I wear because it's just easy. I just does my head in trying to think about what to actually wear.
The only decision I make every day is shorts or long pants. That's it. Like same polo every day, same hat, same everything. Like it's easy.
Yeah, well, it's exactly right. And that just makes life. So those little simple decisions, they're standardized. You don't have to make a decision. It just is what it is. And it's not about not being able to afford variety. It's about just preserving your decision-making capacity. And so you can do that in your personal life. Maybe you've got two types of breakfast you eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you just do that. That's what you do. But in business, it looks like templates. You know, this is how the quote looks every time or the bid. It's checklists. So this is the checklist to follow when we're doing QA.
Yeah.
It's default pricing. It's like a bunch of set prices. They're just done. Lock and load, where you go. It's meeting agendas. This is how the meeting's going to run.
Yeah.
It's a default calendar. This is, you know, this is massive.
This is what my day looks like.
Yeah, this is how my day looks like every day.
Mm.
And it's, you know, it's set out for a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I just roll that over week by week and I fit things around that. So I don't have to think about how things are absolutely critical.
Yeah.
Standard reports, all that sort of
stuff.
Actually,
the default calendar is a massive one because it's not just having to think about, you know, what your day looks like. It's having to think about what am I supposed to be doing right now? Because I think one of the hardest decisions is when you sit down to get something done in, you know, in the behind the scenes fashion of your business. So it's not just like, you know, if you're going to a job, it's like, what am I doing right now? Well, I'm going to that job and I'm working on
it. That's kind of simple, isn't it?
It's easy. Yeah. But it's like I'm going to work on my business. I think one of the hardest things is people sit down at a desk to work on their business and then they sit there for like half an hour or more going, well, what should I actually do? Where should I start? How would I do that? And it's just where it's like, if you've put in, hey, I'm going to work on my pricing between this time and this time. I'm going to work on improving a QA system between this time and this time. Then it's like, what should I be doing right now? Well, it says it in my calendar. Just do that. Again, you decide in advance, you make it a system, and then you just blissfully follow it.
You standardize it. So standardization saves you a massive amount of time. Now, number three is probably the most important here. And it's about how you deal with the team that you have. Because the team is what sets you free, really, from decisions if you do it right. And so the way you want to do it to avoid decision fatigue is to really delegate outcomes to your team. And what that means is they're responsible for getting the result. And that means you've got to delegate the decisions. And that's the big mindset shift here. Now, most owners will delegate tasks. They'll be like, oh, can you, you know, price this job?
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, your job is to run the pricing of this business to a set margin and win this amount of work. That's delegating an outcome. And so you want those people to actually make all the decisions around that so that they get better at it.
This is a big one, bro, but this goes right down to small things. So
huge.
If I say, hey, Tony, it's your job to put out the rubbish on Thursday night, that's a task. Whereas and at that point, I might get a silly question back like, well, where do I put it? And I'm making decisions about something so trivial, you know? Whereas if I say, it's your job to make sure the rubbish goes every week, that's an outcome. And then at that point, it's like, you're responsible for making all the decisions that need to happen. I didn't have to tell you Thursday night. I didn't have to tell you where to put it on. It's like, this is all for you to figure out. Your job is to achieve the outcome of there's no rubbish here on Friday morning. That's it. Do you know what I mean? Like, and so this can go right down to the smallest things. And I think that often is the biggest weight is sometimes there are decisions that actually we wouldn't mind making if it was something really important. But there's all these little dumb decisions that come in every day because people can't use their brain on something so simple. And it's because you've delegated the task, not the outcome.
Yeah. So outcomes are critical. It might be you have an operations manager. The outcome is you want them to hit the GP targets for the business on the jobs that they're running. That's their outcome. They're responsible for making the decisions. They're responsible for how the jobs are scheduled, how the suppliers are set up. You know, how variations are claimed, all that sort of stuff. That's their job. That's their outcome to deal with. Now, you might support them and train them and obviously recruit and hire people who've got the skills, but it's their job. That's their job. And if they can't do it, then you deal with that. Either you retrain or you got to fire their ass and get someone who can. And so it takes away all that decision fatigue that you've got to make because that's their job.
Yep.
They make those decisions. Now, having said all of this, you know, you've got to be careful you get the right people. You can't just delegate outcomes to people who can't do the job. That's silly. And some people you do have to micromanage. But as you grow a business, your job is to hire people who can deal with outcomes and deliver you results.
Especially in, you know, upper positions, leadership positions, you know, or positions of good responsibility, even like an estimator or something. You might not be a leader, but it's a position of serious responsibility. Yeah. Like they should be able to make some decisions. Yeah. And a beautiful thing happens when you start delegating outcomes is instead of you getting hit with dumb decisions, you get to dumb questions. You get to ask dumb questions. So, for example, if I've delegated the GP on our jobs to you, Tony, then instead of you coming to me and saying, "Hey, Phil, how do I get better GP?" It's actually my job to say to you, hey, Tony, how are you going to get better GP on these jobs? And you have to make that decision. And so you stop getting asked questions, you get to ask them instead. And that actually is quite a nice thing.
It is. And so the key to this is you think about responsibility, because decisions and responsibility go together. They're the two sides of the coin. And so you take the responsibility from your shoulders and you place it squarely on your employee's shoulders, and you let the weight of that responsibility rest fully on those shoulders. Now, if you think about going to the gym, this is what happens. If you lift weights and you put your body under resistance, your muscles grow, you get stronger. The same happens with your team. Let the weight of the responsibility fall on their shoulders, their decision-making muscles will get stronger. If you don't put the full weight on there, then you're carrying some of the weight. You make your team weak. It's as simple as that. By making the decisions and taking it away from them, you make your team weak.
You create learned helplessness.
Learned helplessness. So this is massive. You absolutely have to let them be responsible for the outcomes. That will help you massively with your decision fatigue. That frees up your headspace to then think about other higher level things in your business, about how I'm going to grow and scale this business, which is the exciting, juicy stuff.
Yeah, well, that's what we all want to be doing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, shall we talk about time of day, man? I reckon this is massive for me, especially.
This is a little hack.
Yeah, yeah, little hack. But I mean, like, again, I think the thing is like everyone has a prime time of the day, but for most people, decision-making prime time is usually earlier. Mm. It's usually in the morning. I know for me, by the end of the day, the tasks and responsibilities I want to be taken care of are going to be stuff where I can largely autopilot that. Or it's a discussion with a person, something that's going to give me a lot of energy. Whereas if I've got to make important decisions.
You love a good discussion.
Oh, I love a good discussion, mate. Yeah, yeah. If you send me an email, I'm definitely coming through your
door. I know. I've noticed.
But I think the key is like if I've got to do any proper decision-making work, I'm going to do that first thing in the morning, because that's when I'm fresh. That's when I'm thinking clearly. That's when I'm not already under the load of 10 million decisions. And so the thing is I'm going to make better decisions. And that's what it's really all about. If I save that till 4:30 p.m., dude, like, I'm not making good decisions no matter what. Like, it's not a good time for me.
Well, you think about this. Let's say you've got to have a difficult conversation with a team member, and it's got to happen, and you plan to have it at 4:30 in the afternoon. Then you've been thinking about that all day. You've been going through the permutations of the decisions you could make all day, and you've drained your decision-making battery, not only with that decision but all the other decisions you had to make before you got to the most important decisions and conversations of the day. It's not a great idea.
No.
So do it when you're fresh, and that keeps the brain, with energy for other decisions. So that's really important. I think similar to that is, as your business grows, you are going to get decisions, of course, and you're going to get some pretty meaty decisions as well. So one of the keys is to actually build up your decision-making capacity, your mental capacity, like your energy for decisions. And so I think a lot of that is just general kind of common sense, but sleep is a huge one. If you've got to prioritize that, don't be drinking coffee and alcohol in the evening and eating lots of sugary food and playing on your phone and scrolling social media. That's going to disrupt your sleep. Exercise is a huge one. I know that you that's really important in your life. It's important in my life. If you go to the gym, you kind of refresh the slate for the rest of the day.
Well, that's why I go at lunchtime, mate. Yeah, because I can almost get another burst of energy, which I think is really important.
Yeah, and calendar gaps, breaks are important. So if you've got a default calendar, schedule some breaks in there. The daily breaks and then the actual vacation breaks are critical to allow your mind time to rest and digest and recharge.
Rest ethic makes work ethic sustainable.
That's exactly right. So that really helps with your decision-making fatigue. That's because it's not easy sometimes making decisions, but your business does really depend on the quality of your thinking. So it's important to invest in yourself so you make high-quality decisions, not when you're under decision fatigue.
Yeah, and I think honestly a lot of this, while it is common sense, it's not that commonly practiced. And people say common sense is not that common. I'm not sure I believe with that all the time. Like, we all know this stuff. The better you look after yourself, the better your decision making, of course. But do you actually prioritize getting better sleep? Do you actually prioritize eating better food? Do you actually prioritize exercise? Do you actually prioritize rest periods? Like, do you do this? And if you don't, then it's like you're going to have worse decision-making capacity. It's just harder because you're already under the stress of not being in a healthy state. And so I think it's sometimes this is the most obvious stuff, but it can be the hardest to do because, again, you feel that weight of responsibility as a leader. It's the same weight of responsibility that made you take on all the decisions you didn't have to. is the same weight of responsibility that makes you not prioritize yourself to be in the best state to actually make these decisions. And I think the thing is it's that whole, you know, secure your own life vest first, right? Secure your own oxygen mask first. Yeah. If you're not in a good state, you're not going to do a good job. Yeah. And that's going to let everyone down. Yeah. So
I think this is important to realize that you have to, you know, look after yourself, as you've said, but also understand that it is not normal. I mean, it might be normal to be under decision fatigue. You don't have to be. It's not ideal. It's not good for your business. So, you know, really recognize that and help other people make those flipping decisions, because that's the key. That really is the key to growth.
Yeah, push down those outcomes.
That's right.
All right, let's land this plane.
All righty. Decision-making fatigue doesn't just make you feel tired. It slowly actually steals the quality of your thinking. And in business, it's the quality of your thinking that ultimately determines the quality of your results. So don't just try to make better decisions. Build a business that requires fewer of them. You've got to protect your mental energy, because your business needs your best thinking, not your busiest day. Thanks heaps for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
See you.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.